You're listening to another life-transforming message from Awakened Church with campuses in San Diego and Salt Lake City. To find out more about us, go to awakenedchurch.com.
So we're the pastors over the recovery ministry, and we have seen breakthrough in recovery, but we have also seen some real tough stuff in recovery over the past 16 months with lockdowns, with isolation. There have been three people that we have lost to overdoses and one that we lost to suicide. And that's just in a little ministry in our church. I know that in my life, you know, I'll go through my feed on Facebook, and over the past 16 months, I've seen over 40 people lose their lives to overdoses and to suicide. People that I know personally, that I've spent time with, that I've broken bread with, that I've shaken hands with, that I've spent time with, are dead. Wow. Don't know anybody personally that's died from COVID. I know that there have been some, but I've seen a lot more mental health issues where people have lost their lives at their own hand, oppressed by the work of the enemy who's been having a field day while we've been kept in isolation. And I know that there's a lot of us that have been experiencing the trauma of this year. That I heard a study recently that normally 10 to 15% of the world has low-level anxiety or sometimes high-level of anxiety at some varying degree, but now that number's jumped to like over 90%. Wow. That all of us have been affected by this in some really substantial ways. But I know that in John 8:36, that John wrote that if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Yeah. And thank God, because our pastors stood in the firing lines for our freedom, and that God went before them and before us, that we have seen in our church true freedom this year. Yes. Yes. This has been a year of breakthrough for our church and for a lot of people in our church. That what the enemy intended for evil, the coal that he left in our stockings, has been pressed together, and there have been some diamonds that have been made under the pressure of this year. But we've seen people saved from suicide, saved from impending divorce, from making foolish decisions about moving across the country out of fear. But we also know that there have been a lot of people that have been really crushed in their spirit. So this morning, I want to go after that. Because there have been people that have been locked in isolation, alone with their thoughts, without any normal distractions or even community to run them by, and they've been traumatized again and again by memories of traumas and shame that they've carried with them for a long, long time that have just bubbled up to the surface. And when that accuser's voice is not being silenced in healthy community, listening to those voices have driven a lot of people over the edge. So I want to go after for freedom for them and for all of the rest of us that have really taken some hits this year. So we're in our That'll Preach series. And when I was asked to preach this message, the movie that I thought of immediately dropped into my spirit was Tangled. And it's not because my daughter is a living Rapunzel. This series is taking stories from Hollywood that reveal biblical truths and point us to the greatest story ever told. And I really felt Tangled, though, not because Rapunzel is living in quarantine, held captive from the kingdom of Corona, not because her captor, the evil witch Mother Gothel, has convinced her that if she goes to Corona or even goes outside her isolated tower that she'll face certain death. Mother Gothel, by the way, is a self-obsessed witch who is holding Rapunzel captive to make herself look better. And Gothel, or Gothel, by the way, is an ancient Aramaic word that translates roughly as Gavin Newsom. I know, it's so crazy. Okay. That's not actually true. Okay. Gothel actually means foster mother, and just like governors, there are some very good foster mothers and some very abusive ones who are on a power trip and only in it for the money. Did I just say that? Okay, maybe I did. Pastor Sterling, what have you done to this microphone? There is a spirit of naughtiness resting on this microphone. So, okay. Holy Spirit, come back. None of those things, though timely, are why I chose this movie. I really believe that there's an even bigger and more universal truth at play in this story. Rapunzel is royalty who has been kidnapped and enslaved. Her true identity has been kept from her, and she has been taught to fear the kingdom that she was born to lead. Flynn Rider, who in this story has been labeled a thief but is also a type of Jesus, breaks into Rapunzel's isolated world, shows her her kingdom, and then ultimately sacrifices himself to destroy Mother Gothel and to set Rapunzel free. The power living in Rapunzel then resurrects Flynn from the dead, and then he brings her back to her kingdom, and they're married, and then there's a feast that lasts 7 days. I am not making this up. Entangled is like the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And it holds some truths that will help untangle your freedom from the snares of the enemy and to help enable you to live free indeed. So this message is called Untangling Freedom. So in this first clip from Tangled, we'll see through Rapunzel that she's been captivated, she's been held in captivity, stolen almost right after birth, deceived since she was an infant, and then but there's still a part of her that is a honing beacon to the reality of who she is in the kingdom that she belongs to. And Mother Gothel is an expert gaslighter that is continually twisting, manipulating, and tormenting Rapunzel to keep her isolated, to keep her in fear, and to keep her from discovering her true identity. Check out the clip.
Gothel broke into the castle, stole the child, and just like that, gone. The kingdom searched and searched, but they could not find the princess. For deep within the forest, in a hidden tower, Gothel raised the child as her own. Gothel had found her new magic flower, but this time, she was determined to keep it hidden.
Why can't I go outside?
The outside world is a dangerous place, filled with horrible, selfish people. You must stay here, where you're safe. Do you understand, flower?
Yes, Mommy.
But the walls of that tower could not hide everything. Each year on her birthday, the king and queen released thousands of lanterns into the sky in hope that one day, their lost princess would return.
They appear every year on my birthday, Mother. Only on my birthday. And I can't help but feel like they're meant for me. I need to see them, Mother, and not just from my window, in person. I have to know what they are.
You want to go outside? Why, Rapunzel?
But
shh, trust me, pet. Mother knows best. Mother knows best. Listen to your mother. It's a scary world out there. Mother knows best. One way or another, something will go wrong, I swear. Ruffians, thugs, poison ivy, quicksand, cannibals and snakes, the plague.
No!
Yes!
But also large bugs, men with pointy teeth, and
stop no more, you'll just upset me. Mother's right here.
Mother will protect you. Darling, here's what I suggest. Skip the drama, stay with Mama. Mother knows best.
But if you just...
Rapunzel, we're done talking about this.
Trust me.
Rapunzel.
I know what
Rapunzel.
I'm... Oh, come on.
And that's for the lights, Rapunzel. You are not leaving this tower ever.
Yeah. it's eerie how much that mirrors current events. But, you know, one thing I didn't see in the first service and didn't see until now in that clip is those lights that the king and queen release every year are like the lights in our heart that that Jesus said to let your light so shine, and that you can be that light, those lights that are calling people back to the kingdom that they're supposed to be in. So the past 16 months have been traumatic for everyone in the world. Fear and anxiety are at an all-time high, and like Mother Gothel, the enemy uses fear to keep us in bondage, to control our lives, and when he can control our lives through fear, he can prevent us from ever fulfilling God's plans for our lives. And ever since Eden, Satan's primary weapon against God's children has been the spirit of fear. The spirit of fear is primarily focused on deceiving you to believe that either God is not good or that God is not there. Wow. The enemy frequently comes in disguised, though, with the voice of a helper. But his plans, his schemes, are never helpful. Jesus said in John 10:10 that the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and destroy. There's not like, and to help. Jesus said that I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. Other versions translate the Greek word sophronimos as self-control. Others translate it as sobriety. And in reality, it's all of the above. When we are of sound mind, we naturally practice self-control. We are sober-minded. We can act with our full capacity in a sane way. When a spirit of fear is operating in a person, it steals our power, prevents us from giving or receiving love, and hijacks our ability to think clearly, practice discernment, and have self-control. Fear promises the exact opposite of what it delivers. It says, believe me, and I'll help you. But it actually steals the very things it promises. And without power, love, and self-control, you are like the walking dead. Wow. Fear has killed your ability to truly live and destroyed your God-given potential. Since fear entered man in Eden, humankind has been broken from the trauma of sin, sickness, death, chaos, and hatred. It only makes sense that the primary mission of Jesus in this world is to declare the good news of the afflicted, the good news that he is here to heal the broken hearts, he is here to declare freedom to those who have been kidnapped by evil, to set them free and break chains. He is here to declare to those that are guilty of horrific things that if you have a heart to repent, he will open the prison door and even set you free. That the power of Jesus will not only set the captives free, he will also set the guilty free. And he does it not because he has to, but like Becky said, because he loves you. And I think that there are some people here that are under the sound of my voice today that have been held captive by shame, believing that what they've done is more than what the blood of Christ can cover. And I'm telling you that it is a lie, that God so loved you that he sent his only son to set you free. All right, so fear can enter a person through trauma. And fear can also be a gateway for trauma, controlling our minds to make decisions that result in traumatic circumstances, which in turn invite in more fear. It's a vicious cycle. Some traumas are noticeable because they're major. But some of the seemingly smaller traumas can be more damaging because they tend to be excused or ignored, not noticed. But they erode the structure of our faith, our relationships, and ultimately our lives. Yep. Some symptoms of unhealed trauma are nightmares, emotional numbness, depression, anxiety and irritability, flashbacks, chronic nerve pain, insomnia, inability to focus, addictions, over-medication, suicidal ideations, hypervigilance, or obsessive self-protection, which can also result in suspicions about people, but they can also invoke like a hyper-spirituality where you think that everything is demonic, and that can take away power because there's things that God gives us to do, and there's also things that only he can do. And when we're sober-minded, when we're not operating in fear that's been let loose by trauma, we can see the difference between those things and can get real freedom. And all of these things will end us up in isolation. So I had a lot of trauma. My mom kidnapped me when I was almost 3 years old from France, where I was born, to Canada so she could get a divorce there from my abusive alcoholic father. And he followed us to Canada, and then he would drunk dial us in the middle of the night. And my mom, because they were going through divorce, would record the conversations. But my bedroom was right on the other side of the wall from where the tape recorder was. And so I would hear my dad, and if he was angry, he would threaten to kill my mom and kill her entire family and kidnap me and take me back to France. Or if he was self-pitying, he would threaten to kill himself. But both of those things were because he couldn't see me, and so I blamed myself for that. Starting at about the age of 3, I was molested both by other kids in daycare centers that I went to and also by a boyfriend of my mom's. And I was so afraid of being rejected because even from an early age, I longed for attention and for companionship, to know that I was all right. And so I didn't put a stop to the things that were being done to me. And then I blamed myself and internalized that shame. And I carried around that shame like a weight on my shoulders for a long time. When I was in the beginning of junior high, summer between sixth and seventh grade, I started using drugs and alcohol, and things that happened to me in addiction, the trauma that I put on myself by the things that I did to myself and the things that were done to me, sometimes by people that I really thought loved me. I was abused by friends. I was neglected. There were a lot of things that happened. The summer between 10th and 11th grade in high school, I slept on the beach for probably 30 days out of that summer because I really didn't feel like I had anywhere to go. And a lot of that was weighty. Yeah. But when I got sober at 19, I thought, I'm getting sober young. I've escaped relatively unscathed. But there were a lot of things that I carried with me and symptoms of that trauma that stayed with me, the depression that plagued me, suicidal ideations, nightmares, anxiety, inability to focus, compulsive habits, and emotional numbness. All of those things I thought were normal, and they were things that I just needed to figure out how to get over. So then I got sober in a recovery group that paid lip service to spirituality but put a strong emphasis on confessing and taking personal responsibility for my mistakes. And that is very important, but if you're trying to do that on your own strength, it will leave you in bondage. So confessing the worst of my sins to somebody, to another person, and not have that person running for the hills brought relief. But it didn't bring healing. It brought a temporary relief and like a type of salve to that wound, but it didn't fully heal me or set me free, and it actually became a kind of idol. And I kept hoping that there would be some new method of learning how to understand myself better or to work on myself more that would actually set me free. But what ended up happening is I would go, I would confess these things, and then I'd like a dog returning to its vomit, I would go back because sin had such a pull on my life that I couldn't escape it. And I'll tell you that when you, that is true demoralization, believing that you've done everything that you can on your own power and discovering that your best is still not enough to set you free, that is the lowest, I believe, experience that a human being can have. But let me tell you that it's also the gospel, because it's not until you've lost all hope in yourself that you can begin to actually heal and hope in Jesus. And Jesus is the great physician. He is the lover of your soul. He is the one that longs to set you free, but you can't earn your freedom. You can't create your freedom on your own. You have to do it with him. And he's the one that's going to take the lead. So David was one of the most traumatized people in the Bible. He was born out of adultery. He was the shame of his household. He was rejected by his mom and dad, looked down on by his brother, relationally dysfunctional, sentenced to death by the king, guilty of adultery, betrayal, and murder. David knew trauma. but he also knew his God. And he writes in Psalm 34:18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. You know how I know that God is real? That Pastor Becky and I didn't talk about this message today, but you shared five of the verses that I'm sharing in this message when you were praying for the Book of Miracles. Out of the thousands and thousands of verses in the Bible, there you are. So when someone experiences trauma, they can feel crushed. Another word for crush is disintegrated. This means that for them, it feels like pieces of their mind and heart will never come together again. There's this piece over here and this piece over there, and these pieces don't feel like they can ever be connected. This is disintegration. The only way that reintegration happens to anyone is when Jesus Christ becomes the center of their life. There is a hope and a promise that no matter how shattered you are and how much trauma you have been through, that God is the God who heals the brokenhearted. He not only heals us, he binds up our hearts too, and he brings the shattered pieces of our broken heart back together so that we can feel whole again. It says in Colossians 1 that the entire universe is held together through the power of Jesus. Not only did God create the entire universe, he literally sustains it. And in him, it is held together. I don't know if you all know this. It was actually news to me that scientists still cannot actually explain what gravity is. There's a few theories, but none of them really hold water. They don't know what holds the universe together. They say it's gravity, but we know that it's actually what holds the planets in orbit, what holds the entire thing together is actually the power of Jesus. And it's really only by his power that we can see a reintegration of our lives, no matter how broken or chaotic they may seem right now. So in order to step into relationship with God, I needed to step away from all of the unhealthy relationships and unhealthy belief systems that I had in my life. And there were unhealthy romantic relationships, unhealthy relationships with people who had been mentors to me, unhealthy recovery communities. And I didn't know where it would lead, but I knew that I needed to step away. I didn't know if I'd be able to go back one day and be a light and be able to carry the light of Christ's world, the kingdom of God, into their lives or not, but I knew I needed to go. And the realization was so hard because it felt like I was betraying the people that loved me the best way that they knew how. Rapunzel experienced the same thing when she finally escaped her tower and her dysfunctional relationship with Mother Gothel. Let's check out the clip.
I can't believe I did this.
I can't believe I did this.
I can't believe I did this!
Mother would be so furious. That's okay. I mean, what she doesn't know won't kill her, right?
Oh my gosh, this would kill her.
This is so fun!
I am a horrible daughter. I'm going back.
I am never going back!
I am a despicable human being.
You know, I can't help but notice you seem a little at war with yourself here.
What?
Now, I'm only picking up bits and pieces, of course. Overprotective mother, forbidden road trip. I mean, this is serious stuff. But let me ease your conscience. This is part of growing up.
You think?
I know.
So, a funny way to illustrate that point, but oh my gosh, I know that there's probably some of you in this room that have been feeling that pull and that strain, where like, how can I do what I know that God's calling me to do when it feels like I'm betraying people that have been with me through the worst parts of my life? And I really struggled with that, and I will tell you that on the other side of it, that God has a way where there seems like there is no way. And Pastor Juergen talks about this all the time when he preaches. He says, you know, when you're in an airplane about to take off, the captain will make an announcement warning you that in a sudden loss of cabin pressure, that oxygen masks are going to drop from the ceiling. but it's important that you know that you need to put your mask on first before you start assisting people around you. And God will heal the most broken things. I have seen it over and over again. But if there is something where you need to step away from the relationships that have been pulling you back, unhealthy belief systems that have been holding you down in order to follow God, then you might just need to put that oxygen mask on and for a time let people deal with themselves. And God will show you how to make a way where there seems like there's no way. So in 3 John 2, John writes to his spiritual children, "I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers." This is God's heart for all of us. And, I had a fear about prospering in all things. And I didn't even realize that it was a fear that I was carrying. Because I've always been like a hard charger. I've gone after things in life. I've gone after career. I've gone after relationships. I've gone after success. And I've been able to get most of the things that I wanted. Ask my wife, like, if there is something I want, I will go for it. And I would say, I want to walk in the fullness of God's plan for me. I want to walk in complete freedom. But the truth is, I was actually scared. And I'd been hurt by disappointment, both in others and also disappointment in myself, that there have been times where I screwed up really badly, and I was afraid that if I actually got fully free, that then I'd be without excuse. That as long as I still had some area of dysfunction in my life, I could hide behind that dysfunction and make the excuse that when this dysfunction passes, then I'll be able to walk in the freedom that God has for me. But I would allow little areas of dysfunction to exist in my life, and this was totally subconscious. That when I was right on the edge of breakthrough, I would somehow figure out a way of sabotaging it so there was still a little more dysfunction that I could hide behind, because I was afraid that if I got fully free, then I would just be left with me. And I'd been believing a lie from a very, very early age that I was not enough. That there was something defective about me, and if I lost that shield of dysfunctional things going on in my life, then that truth would be exposed, and when it was exposed, that everybody would abandon me and I'd be left alone. There were little parts of me that had been shattered by trauma that hadn't been reintegrated, and it was like everything is beautiful and functional, and there's this little tiny tower where this part of me was being hidden. And I got to tell you that that's where real freedom lies. And if you're not living in the fullness of freedom, you are living in bondage. There's not a door number 3. There's no neutral position in this at all, that you're either in bondage or you're in freedom. And God wants you to be fully free. And the plans that he has for you are not bad plans. It says in Jeremiah 29:11, "I know the plans I have for you." God actually has a plan, and they are plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And I want you to know that this journey to real healing, is not something that we walk out on our own. That I have seen and I have experienced the power of God hit me in a moment and do the humanly impossible. I have been miraculously healed of sciatic nerve pain at this altar, like probably right about here when Pastor John prayed for me, and it never came back. I spent $100,000 of my own money trying to overcome sciatic nerve pain that I had for 18 months. It was debilitating. 2 weddings that I was supposed to be in as a groomsman, I didn't even show up to because I was in so much pain, and I experienced the power of God hit me right here, and I got free from that. And I know that God's power can hit a person in a moment, but what we've seen in recovery and what I've lived out in my life, that there is a power, but a lot of times that power is followed by a process. That God can take away the thing that's been keeping me in bondage, but he needs to heal the things behind me that kept me going back to getting rebound, right? So that's what we do in Awaken Recovery, and we have a workshop that's starting on August 5th. And if you need freedom in your life, you can text Awaken Workshop to 94090, and we'll get you connected. But this isn't something where it's like, oh, I really need to sign my sister up for this, or I need to sign my friend up for this. Chances are, if you're thinking that, it's probably because you would do really well by going through this yourself. Just saying. So this journey for healing starts by knowing the healer, by knowing the great physician. And I just want to ask everybody in here to bow their head and close their eyes right now. If you know you need to surrender your life to Jesus and invite him into every area of your life, in a moment I'm going to count to three. But I really feel like this, and I was sitting there during worship, that there are some of you that parts of your heart have gotten locked up in a tower this year. And you just, what used to be passionate has seemingly grown numb, and you've been traumatized, and part of that trauma has been resulting in a numbness in you, and you need a fresh touch of heaven. So at the count of three, anybody who hasn't surrendered their life to Jesus and believes enough of what I told you this morning that he wants to heal you and set you fully free, and those of you who may have once given your life to Christ and have either gone away, fallen away, or have just been straight up locked up in the past year and have lost that fiery hope that you once had, as I count to three, I want you to raise your hand right now. One, two, three. God bless you, 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 God bless you. Hands going up all over the place. God bless you, God bless you. There are some of you that are sitting here, and I know that you're feeling like you want to raise your hand, but you're probably like I was, wondering that if God sets me fully free, will I be alone with the thing that I haven't been able to get away from this year? And I want to tell you that he has a plan and a purpose for your life that is so much greater than that. He wants to bring you into godly community and work out your healing with people around you. So if there's anybody else, before I close down, God bless you, just raise your hand up, and I want to pray with you. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Will everybody that raised their hand and everybody that didn't raise their hand, everybody in here, stand to your feet? And I want to pray a prayer of healing, and then I'll pray that prayer of salvation. I'm going to do things a little bit backwards this morning, but I feel like this is what needs to happen. So right now, by the power of the blood of Jesus, you can raise your hand to receive. Right now, by the power of the blood of Jesus, I welcome the Holy Spirit to come upon you as your comforter, your helper, your healer, and your deliverer. I declare the forgiveness of God in Jesus' name. No matter what you have done or what has been done to you, you are free and no longer need to be defined by your history. You are now defined by who your God calls you to be, his beloved child. By the power of the blood of Jesus, I break the power of shame you carry due to trauma or traumas you've experienced. What was done to you or what you have experienced does not speak to who you are. You no longer carry shame because none of God's children have shame. I break the power of guilt that you carry for sin or things you did to cope with your pain. In the name of Jesus, there is no condemnation. The law of the Spirit of life has set you free from the law of sin and death. By the power of the declaration of Isaiah 61, I declare the Spirit of the Lord God is here to bring good news to your broken heart. He is here to heal you, and I declare liberty and freedom. Right now, he is bringing comfort for mourning, joy for sorrow, a mantle of praise for the spirit of heaviness through divine exchange. I sever every single assignment of the evil one against you. In the name of Jesus, I command spirits of trauma, torment, and fear to leave now. In the name of Jesus, I sever your assignment against these people by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Spirit of suicide, I break your power. I command you to stop speaking right now. I speak to murder and rage. I sever your assignment in the name of Jesus. You no longer have a place in the life of these people. I sever right now the spirit of death. I say to all of you under the sound of my voice that you carry the same spirit that raised Jesus' dead body from the grave. I command the spirit of death to leave you now in Jesus' name. I cancel and break off depression, oppression, insanity, mental illness, and the spirit of bipolar or multiple personality disorder in Jesus' name. I sever your assignment from everyone under the sound of my voice. I invite you to put your hand on your heart as I speak healing to your broken heart in Jesus' name. Let the power of the Holy Spirit come now to pick up the pieces and put them back together so you can walk in the freedom of being God's child and in his grace. to everything that you were created to be and do. I declare that healing comes to your heart and that the shalom of God that brings wholeness and wellness will affect your mind, your will, and your emotions, and also your body in the name of Jesus. And I invite you to put your right hand on your head. In the name of Jesus, I speak to every traumatic image and memory in the right side of your brain and command these images to dry up and die. I sever the neural pathway that lead to traumatic images and memories. I sever your seeing, your smelling, your tasting, your touching, and hearing from being triggered through these neural pathways. I sever every lie and stronghold connected with traumatic images and memories. I pray fresh faith and the truth of the Word of God to replace those lies. And now I want all of you to repeat after me. This is who my Father says I am. I am a child of the King. I am co-heir with Jesus. All Jesus bought and paid for is my inheritance. I am loved. I am forgiven. I am cleansed by the blood. I am accepted in the Beloved. I am filled with His Spirit. I have angels protecting me and assisting me in the ministry of Jesus. I am united with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. I died with Him. I was buried with Him. I was raised with Him. I am seated with Him in all the heavenly places. Far above all rule, all power, all authority, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Therefore, I carry the authority of Christ. I have authority over sickness, over sin, over demons, and over the world. I am the salt of the earth. I am the light of the world. All things work together for my good because I love God and I am called according to His purpose, which is for me to be conformed to the image and likeness of Christ. I can do all things through Christ because greater is He that is in me than he who is in the world. Amen.
Thanks for listening. To find out more about our locations, team, and what we do here at Awaken Church, go to awakenchurch.com.